はい。
Good morning. It is good to see your friendly and familiar faces, and a special welcome to some travelers from the South who have returned home, and we're glad that you're here. Those of you who are watching online, we know who some of you are, and we are praying for you and hoping that some of you are feeling better, those of you who are not feeling well. Others, all of us, it is good to be together today. Let's take a look at the announcements. I'm just going to highlight a few. You can look at the rest of them on your own. I'm going to just talk quickly about this week. It starts on Thursday. We are going to have a Seder meal at 6 in the Fellowship Hall. Then there will also be a Good Friday service hosted by Emmanuel Lutheran at 7 p.m. at their church in Ritzville on Friday. And then Easter morning, there will be a breakfast. I believe that's at 8:45 in the morning. And that will be hosted by the Menno Youth Group. And all will be welcome there as well. As well as our wonderful celebration of Easter at 10 a.m. next Sunday. So then some CAMRAC announcements. You can take a look there. Spring gathering, birds, bikes, and blossoms. Camp is open for registration. And then also take a look at their announcements about the facilities manager house. Lots of wonderful things happening these next few days. Are there any other announcements? Okay, let's begin together with a call to worship. Please join me. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us rejoice in all our Lord has done, for it is marvelous in our eyes. Hosanna! We bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together and sing number 100, Praise Him, Praise Him, followed by 315, All Glory, Laud, Laud and Honor. Our scripture today is taken from Isaiah 50, verses 4-9a. The Lord God, Yahweh, has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Okay, now I know that there are two children here that are under the age of 10, but I'm also wondering if there are others that are watching, hint, hint, online, and maybe I could get the Sunday school class that I teach up here. I need your help. Leah, Benjamin, come on up. But just so the rest of you know, you're not out of the woods with this one either, okay? Sit down, okay? Sit down, please. You may need to stand up a little later. Hint, hint. Okay, sit down. All right.
Is that a real plant?
Yes! These are real leaves.
Can I touch them?
Not right now.
Okay.
Well, in a little while. Okay, I have some questions for you. All right, I am wondering whether you can tell me one thing that you know about Jesus. And I'm going to start with Leah, and then I'm going to go with Luke, and then I'm going to go with Anna, and then I'm going to go with Benjamin. Okay, Luke, you can put your hand down because you're going to get a turn. You can even whisper it if you want. Leah.
He saved us from our sins.
Saved us from our sins. Anna. Oh, no, it was Luke in there. Luke.
Sadly, Jesus died.
Sadly, Jesus died. Yes. Mm-hmm. Anna.
He rose from the dead.
He rose from the dead. You guys are telling the story, but there's more. Benjamin.
He loves us.
Oh. Okay, I'm going to ask some of you in the congregation whether you can just shout out one other thing that you know about Jesus. I know that you know things about Jesus, so let's hear them.
He's a great teacher.
A great teacher. What else?
Forgives our sins.
Yes.
Healed the sick.
I don't know. That's okay. I think...
Loved the lesser people.
Loved the lesser, the least of us. Comforter, a man of peace. Yes. Both are wonderful. Man, we know so much. If you don't want to shout it out, you can just keep it in your head and think about it.
Associated with sinners.
Oh, he associated with sinners. I think that is probably one of my favorite parts. Yeah, so many of us have favorite things that we think about Jesus. No, I know it's not your favorite thing. I don't think any of us have Jesus dying as our favorite thing. But it is... Yeah, that is a good favorite thing to have, Anna. I was just asking what your favorite thing was. Now, did you know that we've got insider information? Insider information means that we know things about Jesus that Jesus' friends didn't know until way long after he had died and risen and went to heaven. So they got to learn it the hard way, and we got to learn it, well, the easier way. I'm sure for all of us, learning about Jesus' love for us is still a little bit hard. Okay. Today, we are celebrating Palm Sunday. Why do you think we call it that? Luke. What kind of branches are these?
Palms.
Oh, they're so palms, yes. And before I hand out these palm branches, I want to talk about what's going on a little bit. Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and when he was still outside of the city, he got on a donkey to ride. He hopped on that donkey, and as he was coming in through the city, through the gate and the big walls on all the narrow streets, there was a crowd. And the people in the crowd, they saw Jesus, and they took off their jackets, and they laid them down for the donkey to walk on so that the donkey maybe wouldn't get its feet wet or dirty or dusty, yeah. And they waved palm branches. Why? Why do you think they waved palm branches? Oh, they said, hey, this guy's the master. Yeah, so they waved palm branches. Maybe because it was really hot. I don't know. Was it like, I always think it's a bit like pom-poms, you know, except they're palm branches. And so they say, yay, Jesus, blessed are you, comes in the name of the Lord. I don't know. We don't really always know the things from different cultures. But it is still something wonderful. Do you know what they shouted? They shouted, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna.
Yeah. So let's think about what those words are. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now I've got a bit of exercise for you, but before we do it, I'm going to give you instructions. All four of you are going to get a palm branch, and I have a few more to hand out. Okay? That's instruction number one. Instruction number two, we're going to line up along the center aisle, so that in a minute, I'm going to ask the grown-ups to stand up if they want, and they can all crowd into the center aisle too. So it might be a little crowded. Maybe it'll feel like we're on a narrow street, okay? Not really, but we could pretend. And then when everyone is situated and people have palm branches, not everybody's going to have one, but when people have palm branches, no, we're going to wave our palm branches as we pretend that Jesus is riding the donkey right down the aisle, right to here. We're not going to have a Jesus. We're just going to imagine that Jesus is. Okay? Now, and then we're going to shout or sing or whisper or think, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And you can say it as many times as you like. And you can say it in a singing voice. You can say it in a whisper. You can say it loudly or quietly. Please don't say it goofy. You can say it lots of different ways, okay? And then when we're done, I'm going to give a signal. Maybe I'll clap or something, but you're going to see me. And then we'll say a prayer, and you can all go back to your seats. Does that sound okay? You can say Hosanna. Yeah, okay. So this is what we're going to do. Palm branches, line up, wave palm branches, shout Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then we're going to pray. Can we do that?
Yeah.
So let's do this. I've got some palm branches here. And every one of you is going to get one. Adults, if you wish, you can stand up and stand near the center aisle. It would be good if you could help out with that. Yes. You want a palm branch? Okay. We've got lots here. Woo! Oh, good. Let's be a little bit crowded.
Are you okay?
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Thank you all for humoring me through this. This is so good. You can give one to Bryce. Okay, now, oh, we got some people over here yet.
Yeah.
Hold on. You get one. I've got one, two, three. four left. If you mean your dad? Yeah, Diane wants one too. It's okay. All right, so what we're gonna, it's okay, Anna. Why don't you go stand over there, okay? All right, so this is the plan then. We are gonna wave our branches. We're gonna say, and as many times, as quickly, as slowly as you want. If you want, you can close your eyes and just imagine that you're part of the crowd that is there. I know we're not in Jerusalem. We're not in a dusty building or street. We are here at church. And even here, Christ comes. All right? Maybe, like, Bryce is going to explain a little bit more about what the words mean, I think, in his sermon. I'm not sure. I didn't read it before. But imagine that you are part of the crowd. So let's say this together. Anna, come over here. Okay? Come over here. So my signal is going to be, and then we're done, and we're going to say our prayer. But now, as many times as you want. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed. Always comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Now, we could have done that for a lot longer, but this is okay. Shh. I know I should have done. Nope. Let's say the prayer together, and you can see it. It will be on the board over there on the screen. Thank you, God, for creating us. We can choose. We can connect. We can create. Jesus continues to work in us and through us. It's incredible. Thank you, God. Amen. Let's head back to our seats. Shh. You know what? You give those to Daddy now, okay? That was pretty wonderful. Let's move now into a time of confession and then a time of assurance. Lord, we are isolated and alone. Our failures are visible for all to see. Our days pour out like sand. Our years fade and we are gone. We are afraid to hope. We confess to the Lord. Lord, we trust in you. Redeem us now, we pray. To you, Lord, we commit all our hope and all our worship. Amen. Let's pray before we receive the offering. And while you do so, may God's Spirit fill you with that assurance that you are known and loved. For all that we are and all that we have, we thank you, O God. May this offering be a blessing to you. Amen.
Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Church overly is not one of those places that invites a huge degree of imagination. But on a day like today, how can we not? To think of what it might have been like to have been there, to hear the acclamation, to know what was to be in that spirit of a place, he even has the prospect of, this is different. Here is something new. And especially if we put a little bit of a pause in our knowledge of the rest of the story. There's a lot to be excited of here as Jesus' way to Jerusalem is finally completed. So bring that spirit as I read the story from Matthew. This is Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus had two disciples saying to them, go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied with a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say, the Lord needs them. And he will send them immediately. This was to take place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble, mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did it. Jesus directed them and brought the donkey and the colt and put their clothes on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their clothes on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! When he had entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, who is this? The crowd was saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Every now and again, I get nostalgic of how things used to be. Even something as simple as flash photography isn't much of a thing now. Now we just all grab our phones, hold them up, and press the button and let the little algorithms do what they do, and you get a nice clear picture. But certainly back in the day, I think we can all remember what it was like to wait for the flash. One of my dad's nicknames that we've given him over the years is Owen Mills, after the long-established photo studio, because he was one of these people who long loved photography and would have to get everything just right, the exposure, the timing, and all that right. Until we were all just sitting there through gritted teeth that saying, take the picture already. Only to have the flash blow up and we all blink and we had to do it again. See what we're missing? We all remember what it was like to have that in the low end to get them back and say, they had their eyes shut, or that was funny. Along the way, and you don't get to take 15 shots of one thing in the hopes of one, this turns out. And each one was a little bit different. And if it was dark, it was even better, because then you get the whole deer in the headlights effect. Have you ever gotten into an empty room and just turned on a strobe and gotten those little snap images along the way? Somehow they forgot to engineer all that in to the flash. I think we need that sort of knowledge and that background when we think about our story from this morning. Were this modern times, we could maybe think of this as Jesus' red carpet event with all the attendant flash bulbs going off. Each one giving a bit of an aspect of Jesus, of his identity, of his image, but not the whole. Jesus comes and presents himself, and the crowd goes wild, acclaiming him at the top of his lungs. And we're given these bolt of lightning in a bottle images, frozen in time, of a king, of humility, of riding the donkey in the colt, of those being proclaimed. And his entourage causes a whole stir that waits at the city, wondering only one thing. Who is this anyways? This question of who is this is likely the most important question asked on a day like today. Matthew reports the whole city be alive with this question. And the answer is even more important as it is answered. This is Jesus. Yet the explanation of that seemingly simple answer yields just as many snapshots as any other. Matthew establishes him in this text as a true son of David from the very first. And you have that long genealogy at the beginning of Matthew, and he really reiterates it now. So, who is Jesus? Jesus is the son of David. But that's not all. Who is Jesus? The angel of the Lord tells Joseph that his fiance is carrying a son who will save his people from their sins, knowing him as a savior. Who is Jesus? Matthew reports that Jesus went to Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and towns, preaching the good news of the kingdom coming. He heals the sick and amazes the many with his ability to provide even beyond expectation. Who is Jesus? He is the central teacher of the Sermon on the Mount and the deep stories of the gospel that paint a world as it will be, not just as it is. In Matthew 16, Jesus even asks, who do the people say that I am? His disciples report and offer all sorts of answers. Jesus turns to them and asks and says, but who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, replies Peter, always keen with a reply. Who then is Jesus? He is the Messiah, an identity that he orders his disciples not even to speak of. Who is Jesus? He's a fulfiller of prophecy. Jesus riding the colt in reference to Zechariah as decoration of a coming king on this unusual mount. He's the one that the prophets point to. The snapshot goes on. The snapshot album goes on. miracle worker, troublemaker, king, jester, pest. It's all there in flashes, each one startling, each one capturing something of the truth, but only in pieces. By the end of the week, we know that his identity as the liberator of all will be revealed, but not in the liberation that was long expected or demanded. Good Friday's shouts of crucify him may well outpace Palm Sunday's precisely because so few understand the truest answer of the question of who is Jesus. Because they needed to find for themselves something that was always bigger than what they were holding on to. It can be hard when our image of what is and the one that we have developed diverged and come into conflict. And can be disappointing and angry along the way. And it's really easy to understand how blessed is he gets changed into something else. Reading as we do with the advantage of familiarity, hindsight, and 2,000 years or so to think about it, it's easy for us to say, well, we have the picture right and clear, that we would have found a way to be in the right camp and say the right things. Yet it's precisely how we answer this question that finds a way to shape whether Jesus comforts or disappoints us, frustrates or encourages us, and all this in what measure and at what time. Because we are just as given to anyone else as to having our favorite who is Jesus picture. And we need to always know that that picture is intrinsically incomplete. Those who answer who is Jesus by identifying him as a political ideologue who simply bats and proclaims a program of power will be disappointed no matter which thread they choose. While the rule of the kingdom does have practical implications for how we live and what we ought to do, Jesus does not prescribe a system of governance that will solve all things or fit any manifesto. With his followers having to regularly endure unjust systems of this world, all in the name of faithfulness to the next. We might be given the answer that Jesus is a sort of kind handyman who fixes all our problems and makes things better. But here too, we will be disappointed. While Jesus heals our ills by inviting us into the hard work of reconciliation, Jesus does not by simple invocation fix marriages, reunite estranged families, grant friendships, or make life easy as a balm for all things. Jesus' rule has economic implications, but being a follower does not guarantee good pensions, easy comfort, or high market returns. Those who answer, who is Jesus, with, he is the one who heals all diseases at all times, will also be disappointed as healing comes in its many forms, even those that we don't desire or fully understand. God has yet to fulfill the promise of ending all illness, and there are enemies still to be defeated. We could go on. Whatever our snapshot happens to be, It's only that. A snippet of one aspect. One image of the infinite God and Savior who came to reconcile us to that God. Jesus is the one who accepted the mission from God to save all people by living, dying, and being raised again by the God who loved the world so much that he even sacrifices his own son to say so. Jesus finds us holy in his death and resurrection, and in doing so invites us into the way of God that does not blink or turn aside from even the ugliest elements of humankind. Elements that are readily on display on a week such as this. But rather, turns again to remind us that even here, God comes and God loves and God embraces. We are invited to follow this Jesus that far exceeds the waving palm branches and singing of hallelujahs. On to something new and something different. Of course we must praise. Of course we must sing hallelujahs. Of course we must do this. In fact, we ought to get a little bit better at it, because I don't know about you, but it can feel good to simply say, thanks be to God, and blessed is he. But that blessing and that thanksgiving must always lead us into saying, how might I too walk this road? And the road that Jesus has given me to walk and me to follow. Who then is Jesus? He is our Savior. All of him. All of his life, all of his death, all of his teaching. All of this can save us and call us to follow on behind. Palm Sunday is the perfect opportunity to name all of our individual snapshots of Jesus that we try to hold and place upon the donkey instead of the whole person that is there, the one that we follow. What is marvelous about Jesus is that he defies every last attempt that we would offer him to try to pin him down to the singular savior that we would prefer. You can pick from the whole salad bar of partial Jesuses that I have named. And there are more than that. And comes to be the Savior that we actually need. The one that changes the world and invites us into that change. The Savior who is sent to reconcile us to God does not turn from the fullness of sin and imperfection, but suffers the worst that human cruelty has and builds a bridge to the other side and says, even this shall not be the end. Jesus is the one who God sends to liberate us from the very bonds of hell. And that is what makes this Passion Week holy. That is what we must always cling to when we look for Jesus, the one who is beyond our expectations, calling us always to follow too. This is the Savior that we need, and this is the one that we must declare. And knowing that and naming that is always important. There's a long and rather brutal history of the church to be read in the time of World War II. Of how the church often gave into the claims of other saviors. I stumbled across a reading even just this week from the Italian experience and Mussolini of a school prayer that was offered in the school for those coming up at that time. I believe in our one Savior, El Duce, and Jesus Christ, his only protector. He was born of a good teacher and industrious blacksmith, and on it goes. Substituting the familiar words of the Apostles' Creed with the life of the leader and the strong man. And substituting the Savior of the world with the Savior of the day. This is an extreme example, to be sure. And I'm not saying that there were anywhere close to here. But what I am saying is there are plenty of people who would love to say, I can save you. I can do this. My ideas, my program, my reality, that has salvation. And now point on to the true Savior that is. Sometimes we reinterpret the Jesus we want and supplant the Jesus that we have, forgetting that the flash impression, as startling and compelling as it may be, is only that. An image, an imitation, and no more. And Palm Sunday invites us both into the celebration of the one who comes in the name of the Lord, but also the complexity of dare we follow him down the road, knowing where it leads, calling our own selves to faithful following. Sometimes we're given to forgetting that who Jesus is, it's not about just about then, but it's also about the Jesus who lives and moves and breathes in us now. We must always keep in touch with that Christ and that call as we consider other prospects, other promises, and follow only the Savior that we have, and nothing more. This profession of the identity of the Savior does not of itself save anyone, but it is a beginning of a relationship, a foundational cornerstone on which we build that leads us forward and will, in the fullness of time, change the world. That is what we know. This is what we hold. And this is where we must follow in this Holy Week and every day forevermore. As we witness the other images of Christ, may we always hold our own images closely and critically, to know them, to name them, and to be called to something bigger. where the fullness of Christ is known. May this be our work and our joyful following always. Amen. By way of speaking to the mystery that Jesus presents us so readily, let's sing "What Wondrous Love Is This," number 564. Stay seated. As we follow on, what are the images that you carry this day? And what do you have to share together? Let's come together in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Your greatest moment of triumph happened to be on the back of a donkey's foal. And kneeled to a bloody cross. We gather to prepare the way for you in our lives and in the world. There are so many people with things and things that call for our allegiance. So many kings seeking to rule over us. That you ride into our experience as another kind of king, a serving, humble, challenging king, who calls us not to slavery, but to friendship. There are so many things that seek our energy and resources for their own sake. So many kingdoms seeking our souls for their glory. But you ride into our experience heralding another kind of kingdom. Kingdom where the least are the greatest. Where the meek inherit the earth and children are the best example of citizenship. A kingdom which seeks to bring life, not to drain it. There are so many things that draw our attention, so many realities that seek our faith and assent, but you ride into our experience revealing a new kind of reality. A reality where death does not have the last word. A reality where pride, selfishness, and evil are defeated by love and self-giving. A reality that does not parade itself for all to see, but fills every moment, every situation, everything with life, awaiting for us to discover it. With all this in our minds and so much more, from our hearts, we cry, Hosanna, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. For a closing hymn, let's sing Right On and Right On in Majesty, but let's limit ourselves to verses 1 and 4. Let's stand together. Join me in the benediction. Love God, you are, who are God's holy people.
God's love endures forever.
Praise God and give thanks.
For God's love endures forever.
Expect God and welcome God's grace. Amen.
Fibrous ones that lasted for 3 years.
So I got